Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Casino Royale.
I watched the second half of Casino Royale.
And this
is the other half. Watch till you can't.
We're back.
We're all back. We're here. We're ready. We are on a new bond now.
Finally.
We're finally away from Pierce Brosnan. Mm-hmm. We're now moving on to a completely different bond.
Yep.
Completely different interpretation of the material. And now when we talk about Casino Royale, we won't have to bring up, you know, that fucking awful Casino Royale comedy with Woody Allen and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Peter Sellers, right?
But Peter Sellers and Woody Allen. Now no. we
that had a good song, though. Good song.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
We like that song, though, right?
Remember the one from Casino Royale?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's played every time. What's Q inventing?
Well, actually, it's a fair point. Q's not in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to miss him.
I know, me too. And it's like makes sense. It doesn't really like fit in with like what the movie's trying to accomplish. Like,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like
well, it all takes place in like one place, basically, right? Like,
well, I don't know. In my half, it does. Yeah,
my half is pretty like it's just a casino. So like, yeah, it feels pretty
really
pretty small. Yeah.
Do we not get like a thing starting us off? Like, you know,
I guess you see the front of the casino.
Okay, all right.
And Bond gets shot at.
A Bond bottle episode to start us off. Yeah, exactly.
Bond bottle episode. Yeah. That's how we're feeling.
How are you feeling about this new Bond? This is the first time you're introduced to a new Bond.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I'm usually the one getting the new Bond.
You know, it was kind of with little fanfare, although the very beginning was him getting shot at and being like, that was weird. Not reacting to it.
Yeah. He's got a weird face, this Bond.
He's got a very, like, I don't know. I described him earlier as the casting agent of something of like a Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah,
like,
he's got a very happy face. Yeah,
like, you just want to pinch
round
it.
Face with like a very short haircut.
I mean,
which is not helping the fatness look of his face.
No, yeah. The weirder thing is with his accent.
Mm.
Like, this is the first time they're like, why don't we make him American?
Which felt crazy.
That was a crazy move.
Yeah. I was because I like I said, I watched the second half and I was like, well, when is Bond going to show
up? Where's Bond?
Up?
Obviously, it's this American guy.
Yeah. I'm like, we're really paying attention to this guy playing cards. And then someone comes up and calls him James Bond. And I'm like, oh, it's not James Bond. He's an American.
He's
like,
an American guy. And he's
Bond
like, hey,
must be around here somewhere.
How's it going?
So he's getting shot at the beginning of the movie.
It starts off with him getting shot.
Getting shot, like not even shot.
No,
at.
Shot at. Shot. You're right. Okay. Excuse me.
Well, of course you have the barrel shot.
Yeah. Well, okay. Technically, beforehand, I want to be fully detailed. There's a guy announcing what the movie's going to be about.
Okay.
And
interesting.
He's introducing Baccarat,
which is important.
It is important
because I will say my half of the movie it's mostly them playing Baccarat, and I don't know any of the rules.
I only
really
saw the beginning.
Known. Yeah.
There was a slight. Well, there's actually a whole scene with Bond. Talking to, is it Leiter, I think his name
Leiter's
is?
Leiter's his name, Leiter. Yeah.
Yeah, he's talking to Leiter.
His right-hand man.
Explaining how Baccarat works while Leiter's explaining the mission.
So when someone says the word Baccarat or Baccarat, does that mean they've lost?
I actually have no idea.
Because in my half of the movie...
I don't think he ever got that far to explaining it.
Because one person throws down cards, and I'm like, oh, you fucking won. And then everyone says Baccarat. And then the guy's, like, disappointed, and I'm like, oh, maybe he didn't win. So it's not like Yahtzee or something. Like, or whatever. Like, sorry.
What's funny is there's Baccarat's been in James Bond movies forever.
I still don't know how it fucking works.
I still don't know how it works.
Yeah, I know.
If you yell it, do you win?
Do you win Baccarat? Or if you yell it, or if the dealer says, ah, Baccarat, and I guess you must have lost? I don't know.
Okay, I typed in this Google information wrong because it just said the AI overview says no, yelling does not help you win at Baccarat.
Thank you, AI.
I really appreciate that. Really got what I was trying to go for.
Yeah.
It definitely was not a bad prompt at all.
No, it's AI's fault,
yeah,
obviously.
Definitely that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so we start off with him coming into the casino. We see a gun. The way it's shot is very interesting because, right, it's like shot in one. Like basically, I don't know, probably like a two or three camera setup or something?
Yeah, it's pretty limited camera. Pretty limited. Like, and limited lighting. Like, I don't know if you could tell. They really had a shoot. Like, it's really fun when they're in a weird intimate space and you just see multiple shadows, like, crossing each other when there should only be one light source. So it's like, there's a light behind the camera, then there's the light in the frame, and then there's another light so that we can see these, because it's black and white. Like,
It's the most set of all of the Bond movies I think we've seen, where it's very much like, yep, this is, we got a couple rooms here.
It is fun to see them trying to create like a casino set, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's like, I don't think they filmed in a real casino.
I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. I mean, the front door looked like definitely a set for sure.
And everything's so wide. That's what I'm saying.
Everything is very
wide.
They
need like all of the cameras and the lighting and the director and the sound guys.
Yeah, not a lot of depth.
No. It's all very like flat and very, it's like the camera's really like, it's just foreground and background. There's no sense of like middle ground anywhere, basically.
So anyway, he walks in, someone starts shooting at him. He goes up to like the casino guy, or I guess the owner of the casino or whatever, the guy's running it, and says like, someone tried to kill me. And then some other people are like, what's all that racket? Someone taking pot shots? Like, it's like, oh, this is like a normal thing at this casino.
Casino around.
It's just crime.
Yeah.
The casino owner's like, full of apologies, says Mr. Bond. Like, the casino police are at your disposal. He's like, whatever. Give me some chips. I gotta gamble.
So this is fun, right? Like, it just feels like he's showing up to a casino to gamble. Like, he's there for a mission, but I like how it starts out going like, he's just here to like
lose
money.
You know what he's there really for. Yeah, he's just there to gamble. Some guy gambling.
Yeah.
And then we got, I keep reading his name, Leiter, right?
Leiter's is his...
Clarence Leiter. He's Clarence a British guy. Leiter. I think his name's Clarence, very, very British man, which is weird.
Because
from American,
Bond should be.
Be the very British man. He's like, makes like small talks, like, this game fascinates me. And Bond, and he says, I don't understand it. And Bond goes, well, it's like any other game. You win or you lose. I'm like, really helpful there. And I guess that's probably all you needed, right?
That's really
you win
all
or you,
you
lose. Bond's also playing while standing up. Like, there's a bunch of people sitting, and he's just, like, standing and, like, playing.
Does he seem cool?
It kind of seems like your dad kind of came in and is, like, trying to be cool. You know?
Like, when he's like, leaving, he's going to... Put his sunglasses on and go like, all right, guys, let's rock and roll.
Yes.
It feels like.
Yes. Yeah. There's something about him.
Yeah.
So then some guys there, like Mr. Rashid, I think his name is. They say the bank's open. He's like, do you want to go there later? He's like, no. Oh, I don't think this is actually, his name is Mr. Rashid. I believe it's.
Lashif?
I think it's Lashif. Yeah, I think
Peter
it's
Lorre.
Peter Lorre, yes.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a bad guy.
Oh, man, that's a perfect impression of how he sounds. It's funny because, like...
I saw him in M years ago.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And he's just got, like, such a goon vibe. He's such a goon.
Like, what, you think he's head back to his headquarters jerking off?
Oh, absolutely. He's double blinding, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But like, he is surrounded by a bunch of actual henchmen,
and they look awful. Like, there's an old man.
There's an old man.
He has two henchmen. One is old. The other's like waif thin. he's kind of imposing, but I don't know. It also feels a little like Peter Lorre didn't really read his lines all that well before, you know.
I'm sure he's just reading them off the cue card.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, like,
this is fine.
Not a very
this
like,
is fine, right?
Yeah. yeah. Sometimes his eyes do kind of like drift over and then become like sort of like an SNL.
Well,
sketch.
Yeah, there was a moment where like one of the bits of audio like cut off a little bit, and. It feels like they didn't turn the microphone on when they swapped to the shot. And so there's someone in the background just like, oh, yes. And then we're going over here.
Thing. Telling him where to go. Yeah.
Or just whatever. Yeah. Like just people talking, but the mic's not on. So then, he's like, I'll go over and gamble tomorrow, says the chief.
The chief.
And he's like, you're very lucky and very handsome, Mr. Bond.
Ooh. I ship him.
You ship him?
I ship the chief.
You ship Lashif.
Yeah.
So the guy, Leiter, keeps talking to Bond, and he's like, wow, you must have been really lucky to escape those shots. He's like, you know.
I love it. He's so cavalier about it.
Yeah, and they're watching Lashif do, like, a little, like, exchange of cigarettes, which seems like some sort of code. I don't know.
Interesting.
So then they actually go and sit down because I guess they said some sort of like, I guess that cigarette exchange was like some sort of like code or something.
Mm.
And so now Leiter trusts Bond and they go and sit down and talk. And Bond says he's from the Combined Intelligence Agency.
So not MI6.
No, CIA.
Wait, is it CIA Central Intelligence?
It is, but this is different. It's the Combined Intelligence Agency. They put it all together.
Yeah.
And he's like, you explain background and I'll explain the mission. And they explain. They say he was looking for a guy named Ed Ziffer, but they call him Le Schiffer. It's the same fellow.
Okay.
And he's like, Bond's like, what do you want me to do? He's like, we want you to get rid of him. He's like, that kill him? And he's like, well, Bond doesn't want to kill him. He's like, nope, I don't do that. I'll do it if I have to, but I don't want to.
Sure.
And he's like, well, don't worry, he'll die anyway if you play your cards right. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Well, it's gambling.
I know, but like, how will he die? He doesn't really explain it. Like, oh, if you play your cards right.
I think
right,
what happens is later on it's kind of revealed that Lashif doesn't actually have a lot of money. And he's here to get money, enough money to like support like his like criminal industry, essentially. And if he doesn't get that money, then he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So then they, you know, Bond's explaining everything. So you get two cards and the banker deals and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
I wrote Lashif looks like a toad. He's got toad vibes going for him.
Sure, that's Peter Lorre for
Peter
you.
Lorre.
Well, I've heard everything.
Which is also funny because you hear Leiter talk about him, and he's like, yeah, he's a ruthless fanatic. Everything he does is completely illegal. It feels very Cats 2019 writing.
I was going to say, like, yeah, he's broken every human law.
It feels like that. I would fucking kill to see Peter Lorre
as McCavity.
Yes.
Yes.
Incredible.
I'm the Napoleon of crime.
Meow. Yeah. So then he says his weak spot is gambling. He loves gambling, but he's been gambling all of the Soviets' funds and the Soviets want it back.
There you go.
So we just want him to lose, so the Soviets kill him.
Right.
So he's planning to play he's planning to play high tomorrow, which is funny because I'm like, is he gonna be like really fucking stoned? No, he's just gonna play
I'm
high.
I'm smoking the Ganj. Puff puff piss.
You ever look at your hand? I really look at it. You have so it's like we give you 26 million francs, the same as he has.
Mm.
And Bond's like, that's hardly a safe margin for me to win. And they're like, you could figure it out. You've won on less. And he's like, okay.
I love that they got this guy from the, what is it? Not Central Intelligence Agency, the
Combined Intelligence Agency,
just because they know he's good at gambling.
It's very funny and a weird choice, but yeah. All right. We have agents of all talents, including gambling.
That's true.
Imagine if like nowadays it's like we have to find agents who are really good at like Roblox. If you have to go in.
We need you to build the perfect Roblox. I don't know how Roblox work.
We need you to play Dress to Impress as quickly as possible. Yeah. You need to win. You got to dress the fanciest.
There's a terrorist on Roblox that lost all their money buying, I don't know, Roblox coin.
Mike, you've never sounded older.
You know what? I'm okay feeling older
that's
this
fine.
Way. I don't want to feel like I know too much about Roblox.
I did watch someone play Roblox recently and I was just like, man. This is a nightmare.
Oh, really?
A nightmare manifest. It's just a isn't copyright just like, hellhole, too.
Isn't it just mostly like children on there now, too?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's like children there trying to like, and basically every game is there and like everything's free except it all has a timer. But you can pay money. You can pay Roblox bucks, but every game is free and has a timer and just has like tons of copyright infringing shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
That sounds miserable.
It's a miserable looking, miserable environment to be in. Anyway. Let's see.
Speaking of a miserable environment, let's talk about a casino.
A casino, a very horrible time. So he's like, they could kill you. And he's like, they already tried. By the way, the Schiff is good with a gun and carries three razor blades, one on his hat band, one on the heel of his left shoe, and one in a cigarette case.
Yes.
He always has three armed guards on him. And then the guy goes to describe him. He's like this blonde-haired basset hound looking fellow. Be careful of him. And he just keeps describing him as like, this guy's an older guy. and this guy looks like a toad, and like just weird like animal references to everyone.
Yeah.
And now we're introduced to Valerie Mathis, who is kind of been Mathis, who's been in the background a little bit.
Right.
But she's there and she's like, hey, what's up? Remember me, Bond? We used to play at another casino.
So she's also a gambler.
Yes. Or maybe she just hangs around casinos.
Oh, sure, sure.
And, you know, is there for luck and free booze? I don't know. So he's like, all right, I'm going to go to the hotel. Do you want to come? He's like, she's like, okay, wait, why are those guys shooting at you? And he said, I don't know, maybe they need the practice.
Hey, that's a pretty good line.
That's a pretty good line.
I could see Sean Connery saying that.
Clearly he needed the practice. I can see Roger Moore saying that.
Yeah, that's true,
it's
too.
It's a very Roger Moore line. So she doesn't seem concerned. It's like, okay, I'll go with you. Let's see. The shift is ready in the back tomorrow night. Bond sees her to his room. This is clearly like, one, they don't have an actual working elevator. It's clearly the guys at the doors opening the doors
opening
and closing
in front of the camera. Yeah.
Well,
this is the whole second set.
Exactly.
The whole way.
Pretty much. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I'd rather see your room instead of mine. He's like, okay.
That was easy.
I know. Very easy. So they go into this elevator. They do like an elevator transfer, it looks like, which I guess is the buildings were very tall. They used to do this. They enter Bond's room. He checks all the doors and she's like, do you expect someone? Do you live dangerously? He's like, yeah, I mean, I gamble.
I got shot at earlier today. You saw that.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway, he puts on some music and they start making out.
Ooh.
And he goes, that's for old time's sake. And then he says, this is for now. And meanwhile, some guys upstairs are like readying like a bullet. bullet into like a...
like putting a bullet in a gun?
It's not quite a gun.
Okay. It's a cane.
Yeah, it's like a cane or umbrella. I think it's a cane. Yeah,
I see it later in my movie. Might have the movie.
So then he turns on the music loud and he starts talking to her. He's like, hey, look, Le Chiffre, did he tell you to come to my room? Because there's a microphone here.
He wants information.
And she's like, I didn't know about that. I was just told by him to come up here. And then he grabs her face. I'm like, ah, here, we're back to this again.
Here we go, baby.
Back to this. And he says, what do you know about it? And he's like, oh, you know, I don't know anything about this. But he told me he doesn't trust you. And he wants me to say some specific things word for word to get some information out of you. And then I was just going to leave. And she's like, all right. So he turns off the radio and then says, as you were saying, Valerie, back to normal.
Yeah. Very, very... You know,
very
casual.
And by the way, she calls him Jimmy.
Yeah.
A lot of people
call him Jimmy. And I feel like this was a decision made by the filmmakers because they were like, James. No, he's Jimmy. Look at him. He's a Jimmy.
This is Jimmy Bond. This is Jimmy Bond.
Didn't one of the Americans also refer to James Bond as Jimmy in like an earlier?
I think they might have as like a joke.
Yeah. Remember that one guy that was like, he had a tiny car. And he had like a tattoo on his ass or something, and he called him Jimmy, I think.
The tiny car guy with the tattoo on his ass.
Yeah, I don't know what else to tell you.
It wasn't the weird gator guy. No, he wasn't the weird gator guy.
No, he was like an American contact, and he was like, this car never breaks down. And then they drive in and it breaks down. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. I think
he called him Jimmy, too.
The guy who's like Felix, but not.
Yes. That's
basically
right.
Like the other contact that's less cool.
Mm-hmm.
I vaguely know who you're talking about. Don't remember him very much because I didn't care for him too much.
That's fair. I didn't like him either.
So then she says, like, Jimmy used to love me. I love you too. I've come to say you can't play against Le Chiffre. He'll kill you. And he's like, oh, I still love you. And then she's like, well, maybe I didn't love you. And it gets really weird. But it seems like that went off with everything they wanted to say and they leave and they get to the elevator and he's like, that was quite an act. He says out loud outside,
an act. Yeah.
So he asks which part of that whole thing was true that you came up with.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that part was true, that I still love you, Jimmy. And he says, well, I hope he pays you well for all that you said. And all right, sixth floor, I guess, for the lady. It's a very weird line reading.
Very, driven, very directed.
I guess you get up there, you old broad, is kind of the feeling. Then we cut to Le Chiffre with Valerie walking in and saying, like, what have you done? You've done a good job.
What have you done? A good job.
That's kind of what he said, yeah. Here's the recording we have. I want to let you know we had a microphone in Bond's room. Just wanted to make sure, like, your present feeling, you don't have any real present feelings about him at all.
Right, right.
You know, you don't love him anymore, but you played it off, absolutely great. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll be suspicious of you at all.
Which we know is not true.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yes. And he says, any suspicions I have of you are also quite unfounded. I trust you. But I do wonder, ma'am, how'd your lipstick get smudged?
Ooh.
She's like, oh, I had to sell it or whatever. And mm-hmm. he's like, okay, well, I still don't know about you at some ways. He's like trying to bait out information from her.
Sure, it sounds like.
Yeah. But she's just kind of like, no, it's not true. Yeah. She says, Bond and I are on opposite sides of the fence.
Mm.
So I guess they'll never see each other unless they hop that fence.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's not that tall of a fence. Maybe it's easy to hop over.
Maybe so. Bond then makes a phone call and everyone listens in from the, the ship's
upstairs
room
or whatever. Yeah,
and he says hey, can the police follow me and keep a close eye on me until tomorrow night when I play?
Mm-hmm.
And then Le Chiffre says, Bond better not get in my way. I need 80 million francs, and no one's gonna stand in my way. No one. I'm evil. Leiter at some point is speaking to someone who's clearly trying to run a story on Le Chiffre. I don't know what it is. We can't really hear the other end of it.
Mm.
They say they basically want to publish that he loses, I think, is what the idea is. So that way maybe the Russians can kill him.
Yeah.
So don't worry, it will go on quite late. He said, so you have to publish it as soon as you can.
Got it. They've pre-written the story about him losing and they're just waiting for text to be accurate.
I think so. So then, let's see, we want the 26 million francs, says a guy that comes up to Le Chiffre. Mm-hmm. He has a gun in his neck. Oh, no. A guy comes up to Bond and says, we want 26 million francs. He has a gun and a napkin.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, a phone rings. Bond answers it.
The gun pointed to him?
Yeah, he answers it. And luckily, it's him able to ask for the cashier to come over.
Oh.
So the cashier comes over and Bond gives the cashier the money. He's like, hold this for me, please. I'm gonna gamble. And so there's like, oh, well, we have no money.
I've got no money on me.
You can't steal money anymore.
Yeah, I have to steal it straight from the casino.
So the other guy leaves. Mm. Bond then goes to the casino, withdraws his fat stacks, these huge stacks of money.
Yeah.
And they said, Leiter comes up and is like, I did bad at Baccarat last night. I'm blaming you because you taught me poorly.
Mm-hmm. He's like, it's all about winning and losing.
I know. Yeah. It is. And you lost.
Yeah, it sounds like it's the only way you could
either win or you lose, right? So Le Chiffre is introduced by Valerie to Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, we're playing each other today, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Bond's like, yeah, good luck. And now they all sit down. Bond gets another phone call. Bond says, this time it's from a friend. And they threaten him and say, it seems you may have a certain attachment to a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
If you win tonight, she will lose.
Oh!
This young lady is not part of my organization, he says.
Mm.
Why do I care if she dies?
Right, right.
Or why do you even care? And they say, it doesn't matter what I think. If you win, she loses her life regardless.
Yeah, she dies.
No matter what. And I was like, the only real interesting thing about this movie is just kind of like this kind of like thought behind is Bond actually going to care about the mission more or
the person
more?
Apparently cares about. Yeah.
That he apparently cares about from his past life.
What's Jimmy going to do?
What's old Jimmy going to do? I don't know. Well, he's going to get his bank of 2 million francs, folds, Bond goes bunko, and Le Chiffre wins the round, and that's the end of my half.
Got it. Okay, so I was just like, what are they playing? At first, I was like, oh, they're playing a game called Bunko.
Because he says Bunko. Bunko. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just wrote down, man, I wish I knew how to play Baccarat. And I just wrote down, literally just watching these two guys play. Because, again, I really only recognized Peter Lorre. I didn't recognize who this other man was. And I was just like, man, this guy really doesn't seem all that good at playing cards. And Le Chiffre, who I later realized that's what his name is, Le Chiffre seems very confident. I wrote down, this other guy seems really nervous and he keeps losing. And everyone seems to gather around what I now know is Bond. They all gather around Bond and they're just watching him lose money over and over and over again. And there's just a bigger crowd around Bond watching him just go in, keeps going in, and he keeps. So it seems like after him losing so often, it seems like basically you just get 2 to 3 cards, and then you flip the cards over and you count how many numbers there are on the cards, basically.
Okay.
And then whoever has the highest number on those cards wins, basically. Mm. So it's like Le Chiffre will have like 8, and then Bond will turn over and it's like 3 or whatever.
Okay.
You know?
And then just, Bond loses.
He keeps just fucking losing.
Gotta get the numbers up.
You,
listen to Wolf of Wall Street.
You gotta pump those numbers. He's jerking off under the desk as well. Mm-hmm. So finally, he's like at the end of his rope. Bond's all in. He's gonna bust. And so he's like,
sorry.
Yeah, I now realize that sounds like he like, goes all in. And so he's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he puts all of his chips in the center of the table,
mm-hmm.
and he flips over the cards, and he's gone. It's like he's got nothing. He loses. He's lost all of his money and all
Fuck.
Of his... Yeah, it all goes over to Le Chiffre. And then some guy comes up and he goes, Mr. Bond? And I just wrote down, wait, this guy is James Bond?
Wow, I love how long it took you to figure that out.
Because no one said anything. It's literally just like back and forth, people like flipping cards over.
Are there more people than just him and Bond playing? Like,
no,
right?
It's just the two of them next to each other.
No.
Yeah.
We can get more actors to come in and play background.
That would be way too long. I don't know if the audience can tell. This is a pretty short movie.
It's only like 58 minutes long.
Yeah, exactly. So like
very easy to fit in a TV time slot.
So yeah, they're not really gonna have like an entire hand and round of people like playing at a table. It's only just these two. And so Bond's lost. He's lost all of the money. He's, you know, and now it's all gonna go to Le Chiffre. And I'm like, well, it's okay. I guess that's the end of it.
Bummer, I guess. Guess that lady's not going to die, at least.
Yeah, no, she's going to be fine. But then some money gets delivered to him. And it's basically enough for him to get back in the game, basically.
Who gave him the money?
Huh?
Who gave him the money?
It's just from the French.
The French are like...
Some French organization gave him the money.
All right.
And it just has like a little note. And it says, you have to win, says the note.
It was the FIA.
Maybe.
French intelligence agency.
Yeah, that's right. A guy at the casino has to count out the money because it's so much. It's like the sum is so big, we can't just have you say that it's this amount of money. I have to actually count it out. So he counts it out and he's like, okay, this is enough for you to get one more hand in. So he gets another hand and Bond wins by one. He wins by one. So finally he's back in the game. He gets some more
money
and some more chips. And now he's a little more confident, which is hysterical to me because it's like you lost so many hands in a row.
Now you can
do
it.
You won one, you know? And it's funny because up until then, it seemed like one guy who was like working for the casino or something went up to Le Chiffre and was like, there's no way you can lose. And then he just lost. And the guy goes up to Le Chiffre again. He's like, you just lost. And I'm like, yeah, you're in a casino. Like there's already, there's no way to fix this game unless like, you know, you run the place, I guess.
Yeah.
So now Le Chiffre seems a little bit nervous. Le Chiffre ends up flipping over two cards and somebody says Baccarat. And I wrote down, I guess it's not like Yahtzee because I think he lost. And so he loses. And Bond ends up getting all of the money back.
Oh, wow.
He gets every single cent back. And now Le Chiffre has nothing because Le Chiffre had to put all of his winnings in to try to bust
Damn.
Bond out and didn't win. So then Bond's just sort of sitting there. He's like, I won. I'm really good at gambling. And he's all happy. And then a guy comes up behind him and he points a cane in the back of his back. And he says, this feels like a cane, but it's actually a gun. And if you don't give me the money, I'll shoot you. And I'm like, how do you know this?
How do you know this? And why is he like doing this in the middle of the casino?
Well, it does look like a guy is just pointing a cane in the back of somebody, right? It's a little
suspicious.
More easy than like a gun,
I guess. That's true.
But it is funny to me. Imagine like you don't have a gun on you and you're like, I'm going to say this is a gun.
Bluffing,
know?
Just like in poker.
Ah, exactly. Or in Baccarat.
Or Baccarat, yeah.
And so he points the cane at him, and I'm like, oh, how is he going to get out of this? And Bond sort of just like falls back, and then the guy like he falls on top of the guy with the cane, and the cane falls to the ground, and the guy just like and he just runs off.
That's
it. Like, quick thinking, Bond. You just sort of
just fall back on him.
You just fell back on him, and so he's like, all right, cool, that's all good. So he gets the check for all the money that was supposed to go to Le Chiffre. Now Bond has the check. And he goes up to Leiter and he's like, hey, Leiter, do you know where Miss Mathis is? And I don't know who Miss Mathis is. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, no, I don't know where she is. She just sort of left after the hand was over. So now everyone's looking for Miss Mathis. Yeah, it's the lady.
I thought Mathis was the guy, though. Like the like his little sidekick guy. Oh, no, it's Leiter.
And that's Leiter. Okay, Leiter's like, okay, where is yeah. He's like, I don't know where Mathis went. Okay. Miss Mathis. So everyone's looking for Mathis, including, apparently, according to Leiter, Lashif's also looking for Mathis. So everyone just starts looking for her. Yeah, they're just like walking around the casino looking for Mathis. What's his name? Leiter ends up getting also held at cane point by another guy.
Well, you know, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Leiter is the last name of Felix, right?
I didn't know this.
So they call him Clarence Leiter, and that's for some reason.
Yeah, but he's also British, and
it's all different.
Felix is supposed to
be
American.
This is Jimmy Bond, so yeah,
that's right.
Everything's
we got
funky.
Jimmy Bond here. So, but Bond is running through hallways looking for Valerie Mathis. And the guy assisting him, a Leiter, calls him Jimmy. And I wrote down, that's so undignified. This is the first time I've heard anyone call him Jimmy. And so he goes back to his room and he has the check on him. And he's like, I don't know. He seems like he's in some kind of danger. I guess he is in danger. I know this because he had a cane pointed at him. But he seems like really nervous about anyone taking this check. So he takes the check and he folds it up and he puts it behind his like room number on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in order to do this, in order to like hide it, he like has like a little screwdriver and like unscrews the number and then puts it behind the number, then screws it back in. So it's like perfectly tight. And
okay.
Yeah. So, and then he still has like the screwdriver on him. And then all of a sudden and then he gets a phone call. So then he goes to the phone and the guy on the other end is like, I'm going to fucking kill Miss Mathis if you don't give me that check. And then Miss Mathis just like walks into his room and then he's like, all right, do your worst. Like, I don't believe you. I've got her right here. And then all of a sudden, Lashif comes in with his two ugly old looking henchmen guys.
I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it is now revealed that apparently Mathis was the one that is working with the French.
Oh.
And she's the one that gave the money to Bond and told him that he needs to win. And I guess this is a big shock on everybody. I'm like, I don't know why that matters.
I don't know. I mean, she was helping him at the beginning, I guess.
She still seems to be helping him.
Yeah, I don't know.
So anyway, everyone seems very surprised by this. And Lashif is like, I want that check. And he's like, your life depends on it. And then it sort of like fades to black. And then the words Act 3 pop up.
Okay. I don't remember Act 2. Oh, wait. Yes, there was Act 2.
There you go. Was Act 2. Which is great for us.
Yeah.
Because that we are breaking down the three-act structure in this podcast. I wish more movies would just tell me when the act started and ended. So it fades up. We see Act 3, and then James Bond is on the ground, bruised. Apparently, he got beat up by one of...
We're not going to show that, though.
They were going to show that, right. We
were not going to show these old men beating up this young guy.
At one point, there is a fight between Bond and the henchmen, and it is... It looks like you're seeing like two drunk dads trying to fight each other. It does not look good.
That sounds kind of awesome.
Not in a good way. They're real drunk. Like, it feels like they could be, it feels like they're like half a second away from just pissing on each other. And so Lashif is like yelling at his henchman. He's like, you were too tough on him. You know, you were too mean to him. You hit him too hard. And then Bond sort of gets up and then he tries fighting back again. And Lashif's just sort of laughing and he goes, oh, you're very tough. And then Leiter calls the phone and Lashif's like, you better act like everything's normal. So Bond goes and he picks up the phone and Leiter's like, hey, it's a great thing you won. Do you still have the check on you? Is everything okay? And Bond has to act like, yeah, everything's fine. And then he's about to tell him, he's like, hey, you know, he says like, hey, Leiter, real quick. And then, you know, everyone starts pulling guns on Bond. And Bond's like, sorry, you lost a Baccarat yesterday. And he's like, sorry, you lost your shirt yesterday, I think he said. And he's like, it's fine. And I thought he was trying to say something like clever, but he wasn't going to say anything. Like, he didn't actually reveal anything. So then Lashif is like, time for the bathtub. So they take Bond and they put him in the bathtub and they bring Mathis and watch them torture James Bond. And so Bond is there and he's like tied up in the bathtub
I'm just thinking about like, we love a torture sequence in a Bond movie.
It's great. Right. But they don't really show all that much.
Probably not.
Not at all. Yeah. Like, he pulls out a some kind of instrument and he,
trombone.
He's like, he's just like playing the trombone.
Pretty poorly.
I'm also like, this is a pretty high end casino, you'd think you'd hear some like rigmarole going on in this room, you know?
What do you mean? Like sounds?
You would probably hear someone getting tortured in the room, you know?
Probably.
But maybe they would just think that they were gooning or something.
Yeah, exactly. This is a normal weird casino.
Yeah, that's
true. People are going to be doing some weird stuff in those rooms.
That's fair. So I guess Basil is one of the henchmen. I wrote down, Basil's so old. And the actor playing Bond looks like he's going to say, fuck you, but they cut him off. Like Lashiv is just like, well, how do you feel now, Bond? And then you just see like the actor playing Bond like look over and it looks like he's about to go like, fuck, but he doesn't. He just cut away. He doesn't say anything. And so
like he really lost. You guys don't know how funny it would be if Bond said fuck at this point. It would be so funny if this goofy ass Gerber baby looking Bond just goes, fuck.
Fuck you.
In a bathtub. With his little rubber ducky. Oh my god, that's such a torture.
Also, not clever. Like, Bond's known for his cleverness. What if he's just like, it looks like you're about to die. Fuck you, asshole. He is like a Gerber baby looking motherfucker.
He is Gerber baby.
Oh man. And so Lashiv's about to torture him, but Bond says pain and killing are part of his job, so hurting him won't do any good. And so
I'm into it. He starts getting off his little boner in the
bathtub. He's like, please do it actually more, do it harder.
Fuck me.
Fuck me, please. But you know, Miss Mathis finally spills that she saw James Bond holding a screwdriver when she went into the room. And so they're like,
he must be a handyman on the side.
He does kind of look like a handyman, doesn't
yes!
he?
Yeah. That motherfucker's gonna plumb my pipes. He does look like a plumber, though.
He looks like a plumber. He looks like if he bent like over, you'd have a little plumber's. Oh, he's a very happy plumber.
Yeah, like he'd be on a Sears commercial or whatever, you know?
You know, sometimes I just have to clean some pipes.
I don't know why he's fucking Grover over here.
So I imagine
there's a monster in the end of the bathtub. He has a screwdriver.
You turned the page!
It's a Bond!
So there is a moment here where Mathis, she mentions something about the screwdriver, and she like drops this information, and the guy playing Bond, his voice breaks when he tells her to stop. He's just like, Mathis, no! And I'm like, I know he's like in a tub and he's very upset. I'm like, can we do another take
of that?
I know
he's like dying or whatever, but can we make him not blow out the microphone?
It was embarrassing. Lashiv and his men are just like, well, we looked through the room, now we're gonna break everything in your room until we figure out what you use that screwdriver on. So they go and look through his room, and this gives enough time for Miss Mathis and Bond to break out. And so I guess Lashiv left his lighter or his cigarette holder, which we know has
razor blade
in it, so she drops it in the tub. And he opens it up and is able to use it to like cut his restraints. And then he's about to cut hers as well. But he hears Lashiv going like, oh, look behind the door numbers. Like, and it's so obviously like, nothing's going on out there. Like, that's just like Peter Lorre standing off screen going like, oh, okay, now it's time for me to say that line.
Yeah.
So he's like, I can't cut Mathis, I gotta get ready for this. And he's like, Lashiv's just like, I found the check, thank you very much, Mr. Bond. And so Bond's now like, well, now that you found the check, could you please come in here and give me some water? And Lashiv's like, sure, I'll give you the water. Wow. He's like, Basil, go in there and get him some water. And get me some water, too, while you're at it. I'm really thirsty.
I'm really parched. Lashiv is lip parched.
And so Basil, this old motherfucker, comes in. And he doesn't...
He's the Basset Hound one.
The Basset Hound one comes in. Doesn't seem confused that Bond is no longer in the tub or anything. He just sort of like dumbly walks in, and Bond ends up getting the drop on him from behind him and just fucking hits him like 2 to 3 times. Just like haymakers him and knocking him out, takes the gun away from him. And even though this is quite a struggle and this is a pretty small hotel room, Lashiv's in the actual hotel room, like bedroom, going like, Basil, you okay in there? And he goes to investigate. And then Bond opens fire and fucking shoots Lashiv. And Lashiv comes out and he's not even bleeding. He's really just holding where he probably got shot because he can't show blood on TV. in the movies. And so he walks out and he's like bleeding. And he's like, oh, this is bad. And so he's dying. And he lays down in a couch, and Bond ends up, you know, cutting out Miss Mathis, and the two of them leave the bathroom together, and they're sort of like pointing a gun at Lashif, and Lashif is just like, I'm going to die. This is not good. And then Miss Mathis like goes over to like Lashif, I think to like check on his wounds. I don't really know why she does this, but she does. And then now Lashif has gotten just enough energy to get up with one of the razor blades and holds it to Mathis's neck. And he's like, if you want to shoot me, you're going to have to go through her, Bond, he says. And Mathis is a smart person. So she's just like, whoop, she just like drops to the ground immediately. Uh-oh. She just like falls. And then now Bond's got an open shot, just fucking like shoots him in the fucking head. And he dies. Okay. Lashif is now dead. And so Bond and Mathis embrace and they kiss while he's sitting in a little chair. And then it ends. And there's like a weird like news reel afterwards. Hmm. It's like a guy, like he's like, well, that was James Bond in Casino Royale. And now delegates all over the world are meeting in Chicago for a safety congress.
Wow.
And that's apparently what was happening in the news. And okay. Then he goes, next week on our television program, we'll be watching another movie with some other actors. And then the credits start rolling. And I'm like, who is this guy playing James Bond? And apparently it's a man named Barry Nelson.
Barry Nelson.
Which is such a great name for...
He looks like a Barry Nelson.
He really does.
Like a Barry Nelson. So I guess we have to break kayfabe now and say we did not watch the Daniel Craig's Casino Royale. We watched the 1954 Climax version.
Made for TV movie.
Which is a series that they used to make movies for... I think this was like the third episode.
This
was the third episode of their show. That was kind of like, I don't know, it was kind of like a Twilight Zone-esque type.
Or like, was it Playhouse?
Playhouse was a good, probably a better analogy of Climax. And this was lost to time for a while. This footage was lost because it premiered in 1954, but someone found it in the 80s and they were able to kind of like restore it. And yeah, I mean, it's all copyright free at this point.
Yeah, we watched it on YouTube.
Yeah,
someone went back and restored the whole thing,
which I will link here.
Yeah, if you guys want to watch it, it's pretty cheap.
It is interesting though, after watching the Peter Sellers one coming to this one, you're like, oh, this is really just Casino, right? Like Casino Royale. Casino.
Yeah, that's right. It mostly takes place in a casino. It was great seeing Peter Lorre. Always a big fan of Peter Lorre showing up at anything. Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know how Mr. Barry Nelson would compare to. He's definitely better than, you know, Peter Sellers.
Yeah, that's pretty low bar.
But that's pretty low bar. Yeah.
I think there might be a James Bond in that movie that's better than him, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A couple of them. But it's very weird. I don't know why they decided to make American.
I think it's just like it was Climax, and they were just like, this is what they're. Third or second episode, and like we don't really have like no one's gonna watch a British guy on American television. We have to make him American, and he has to look like a white bread, you know, American man. It is kind of crazy to see too, like this is the first man to play James Bond, which is why we talked about it in the podcast. You know, we are trying to complete every single James Bond, you know, film adaptation. Yep. We couldn't miss out on this.
Resist seeing like the first iteration of James Bond, and he's not even British. How embarrassing.
He's also not that suave.
That's like if they made a movie about George Washington and he was French.
British? Oh, yeah. That's
like,
true.
Why are we doing this? Why did we change this? I guess it's a historical figure, but whatever.
Yeah, it's just a little bit strange.
Superman's French or something like that, you know? I'm trying to think of an American hero. I don't know.
Yeah, kryptonite is his weakness, but there is also bars of soap. Trying to think of anything that the French don't like. Bars of soap.
There you go. Classic stereotype.
But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to watch, especially having seen all the other James Bond. I really wonder if any other like Bond like actor had ever seen this before.
I don't know. I mean, it was lost to time until the 80s. So, I mean, they probably didn't for a long time.
Probably not.
Maybe Roger Moore dug it up. I mean, he was probably there when this aired, so.
He probably saw it.
He probably watched it and was like, this isn't good. I could do better than this.
It's just funny to see James Bond be like a guy who's just sort of like on a mission. Like James Bond always comes across to me as a guy who's like, I got to do this. Like, you know, he's got all the pieces moved. Here he really feels like, he's just like, why am I doing this?
You know? Yeah.
I shouldn't be doing this.
I'm just kind of stumbled on. I'm the combined intelligence agency. What we do, right?
I'm only brought in because I'm a good gambler.
Weird choice, but okay. I did also like that this was clearly shot in like a
studio
and one like live, right? Like they did this live.
Yeah,
otherwise
yeah.
they wouldn't have had that mess up with the mic earlier.
Yeah, that's true.
And
they
like,
probably only did like one or two takes.
And they probably had like a commercial when they ever did a set change or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times most people didn't change their outfits or anything too much.
It's probably why they picked this. Like they were like, let's just have it take place in like one or two places, right?
Yeah.
Like, because like Playhouse 30, I think was the name of the TV show that's similar to this. It's like they really just got like New York theater people to show up and like do theater on television, basically.
Yeah.
And this was sort of that. It's basically just like, let's just get one or two sets, get a bunch of theater. I looked up this guy, Barry Jenkins. It's not his real name. Barry Nelson. I looked up Barry Nelson. Very, very painfully short Wikipedia page.
Oh, really?
Not a lot of information about him, but a lot of people said he was a very natural actor. I'd give him that. He seems pretty natural. You know, and he's not really like doing anything too crazy here, but I do think that naturalism is kind of working against a very, you know, international man of mystery like Bond is, you know.
What'd you think of Miss Mathis?
I thought she was actually really good. I thought she was actually the best actor in the whole like thing.
There is a great shot where the camera like pans, or not pans back, but dollies back.
Yeah, yeah.
And it like frames her face almost on the entire left side of the camera. And then you see Peter Lorre's face like walk up, and it's a very like dramatic shot for like such a, where they don't have a lot of choices to like really do anything.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. And yeah, seeing her, I thought she was, she was really,
I thought she was probably the best actor in this. Like, again, I felt like Peter Lorre was reading off of cue cards. I think the guy, Barry Nelson or whatever, I thought he was fine, but he just isn't James Bond, or he's not doing a great job at being James Bond.
Linda Christian played her, and she was a Mexican film actress who appeared in Mexican and Hollywood films.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she rocked in this.
She had quite a few, she had a pretty decent filmography.
Anything else of note, like in her filmography that we would know? No,
Tarzan and the Mermaids.
What part she played?
What about Green Dolphin Street or Thunderstorm or The Devil's Hand?
We're going to have to write some of these down. These will be great for our podcast.
The Alfred Hitchcock Hour, she was in one of those.
Oh, that's another example of something similar to Climax.
How to Seduce a Playboy. I don't know any of these.
Mm.
But she lived up until 2011, died at 87, so good for her.
2011? She was alive when this podcast started. I'm just kidding.
It's like math. I'm like, oh no, I don't think so.
No, that's not true at all. But yeah, no, she was great, honestly. I thought she was the best actor in the whole thing. Good to know she lived forever. Barry Nelson, I think, died in his 50s or 60s.
Yeah, Peter Lorre is good, but he wasn't bringing it.
No.
He was just making a voice and just kind of like existing there.
Peter Lorre, like, I think this is the point in his career where he's just like, I know what you want from me.
I'm going to be me.
Yeah, I'm just going
Weird.
To do this.
I'm like a goon.
Like, he did a lot of like radio back in the day too. Like, I think he was just like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I don't really even need to try for this.
Yeah.
Makes me curious, if anybody else were to play the role of Le Chief, what would they bring to the part, you know?
What would they bring to the park? Would they talk like this? Would they do this and be like, Bond, let's play Baccarat. I'm going to beat you, and if you don't, I'm going to kill your woman.
I have a bunch of razor blades on me.
I got one in my hat, one in my left foot, and one in my cigarette case.
I'm very good at gambling.
Nah, that's my weakness. That's my character. I'm also really bad at it somehow.
Not very good.
That's my weakness, but also my strength. I don't understand.
Will you use it against me? We'll see.
I don't know.
But yeah, I am all dropping all pretense. I am curious to see what the actual James Bond
what they do when they finally get,
especially now having
Broccoli gets her hands on it again and finally makes the Casino Royale movie,
especially now having seen two different incarnations of Casino Royale at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the other one was just,
it was a goof,
so barely based on whatever I think the actual book was. It was just a goofy movie.
But I am curious just to see, like, what is there going to be any comparison between the two? Like, obviously they all need to take place in
a casino.
Yeah, Casino Royale. The Casino Royale. Guys, have you ever been to Casino Royale? Email us at email at theotherhatpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook or on Instagram. We're also on Blue Sky, and we have a Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous 007 episodes, you can find them on any podcatching app. And when they're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it on the show, no matter what it says. And what I do want is please reach out to us either on our Discord or reviews or email us. Let us know, how soon did you guys realize we weren't talking about the Daniel Craig James Bond movie? That was the one I mentioned.
Probably about 10
Peter
minutes
Lorre.
In. 10 minutes in. No one can make it past 10 minutes.
You
like,
don't think
this
so?
Doesn't seem right.
And then, did you finish the episode? That's the other question.
Well, like,
did you even
guys.
Bother? Like, because obviously, I don't think anyone has seen this. I think only like crazy, like faithful James Bond heads out there probably seen it, and people like us who have also seen the other Casino Royale movie. Mm-hmm. You know, so have you seen this one? Are you gonna give it a chance? It's all on YouTube. And how long did it realize you guys realized we were like, oh, this Bond isn't American? I'm pretty sure that Daniel Craig played an American James Bond. They didn't mention black and white. Anyway, just curious to see what you guys thought. Hopefully you guys aren't too upset. Next week we will actually be talking about the real Casino Royale.
No lies.
Absolutely gonna happen. Obviously, there's no way that we can get around it.
No, not this time.
Not
there's
this
no
time.
Other, there's no fourth Casino Royale movie.
Not as we know. Not that we know.
There?
Or is there? Good night, everybody. How many bullet holes are we going to give this one?
I don't know. 1.5.
One.
One.
Done. Right. Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.